You're listening to DraftKings Network.
Folks, Mother's Day is around the corner, and let me talk to you about 1-800-Flowers. I can't wait. Every year, it's a tradition. I send stuff to my mother, my mother-in-law, and my wife because they are three amazing moms. They're better than all your moms out there. You think you have good moms? No, I have good moms in my life. I'm just kidding. This was a little harsh. I'm sure you guys all have good moms too. From your mom to the mother of your children and all the moms in between, this Mother's Day, give back to the ones that have given you everything. 1-800-Flowers helps you celebrate all amazing moms, from homemade bouquets, sweet treats, gourmet food, and one-of-a-kind gifts, ordered easily and delivered fresh. For a limited time, you can save up to 40% off Mother's Day bestsellers at 1-800-Flowers.com/Dan. Don't wait. Order today and save up to 40% at 1-800-Flowers.com/Dan.
Now's a good time to remember where the story of tequila started. In 1795, the first tequila distillery was opened by the Cuervo family. And 229 years later, Cuervo is still going strong. Family-owned from the start, same family, same land. Now's a good time to enjoy Cuervo, the tequila that invented tequila. Go to Cuervo.com to shop tequila or visit a store near you. Cuervo, now's a good time.
Trademarks owned by Becle, SAB, the CV. Copyright 2024, Proximo. Jersey City, New Jersey. Please drink responsibly.
This is the Dan Le Batour Show with the Stugatz Podcast.
So, guys, sports topic. And it's a Cleveland Browns sports topic. I'm proud of myself because I haven't been able to talk so much about the team that's won a playoff game for the first time since I was 7 years old. That's because there has been no room. But I would like to start the hour with a sports topic. And it's not about like this amazing chance at one of the three biggest upsets in NFL history that the Cleveland Browns are on the precipice of, I hope. It's the Kareem Hunt angle. You knew one sports writer would probably take it to the way of a path of redemption. What a redemption story for Kareem Hunt, just because he just so happened to not be in trouble. So we know during a pandemic over the last 10 months, Kareem Hunt, who was an all-pro, I believe, with Kansas City, was a top-of-the-line running back, physically assaults a woman who was harassing him. Not that that's a rationalization. That was just a video that comes out. And you have Kareem Hunt, a perennial Pro Bowler, become available in an open market. Now, I'm happy he's a Cleveland Brown because the production is good. I felt conflicted about it at the time, but I knew I'd be celebrating touchdowns. If it wasn't the Cleveland Browns, someone else would have been giving him the opportunity. We now have Kareem Hunt playing his former team, the Kansas City Chiefs. I don't want to talk about the incident, and I'm really not interested in the road to redemption. What I do find really interesting is exploring where Kareem Hunt was a year ago, because it's not at the front of your mind. When you think about Kareem Hunt, you think about that video, you think about why he left Kansas City and why John Dorsey ended up getting him. A year ago, if you'd remember, Kansas City Chiefs, obviously in the Super Bowl. One of the storylines of that week that was not pushed to the top of the web pages was Kareem Hunt got pulled over in Ohio. And Kareem Hunt didn't get arrested for this, I don't believe, but he was sobbing and clearly going through some shit at the time. Self-medicating? Probably. Not reckless to say. Kareem Hunt was sobbing, telling an officer after he got pulled over, "I was supposed to be playing in the Super Bowl. That's supposed to be me." The Kansas City Chiefs go on to win a Super Bowl. Kareem Hunt stays out of trouble, has a good year, and now Kareem Hunt's Cleveland Browns are playing Patrick Mahomes, who congratulated him on Twitter during his performance last week, and the Kansas City Chiefs. We don't know what's going on in Kareem Hunt's head. We don't know too much about that incident because media availability hasn't been going on. I would love to explore what was going on in that moment of pain and self-reflection. If that truly motivated him, if it just so happens to be a pandemic why he stayed out of trouble, the sadness and the fact that football players self-medicate and they can put up this wall, that we can't really explore that to the point that, look, Marvin Harrison found himself in the situation. Not that this is a true analogy that I'm trying to make. Everyone said
Nor should you say his name that way.
Right, Harvin Merrison. Harvin Merrison was a guy that everyone assumed was a good guy because he was just quiet. Production meetings, quiet with the media, professional, show up every day. And then when he's out of football, you find out, wow, there's this whole backstory. And I think because Kareem Hunt has just been quiet, hasn't been in trouble over the last few months, and we don't know too much about him, we're going to start writing redemption stories, which you should not do. You should not do that. we should explore, talk about what was going on in that man's head in that instance, not the horrible incident that got him kicked from the Kansas City Chiefs. The fact that he was apparently self-medicating, sad, depressed, sad that he was with the Cleveland Browns, even though that's his hometown team, knowing that he could have had the glory of a Super Bowl.
I'd like to actually explore some of that, because we are now actually, for the first time in the machismo of sports, taking a look at what is happening with mental health and mental illness and talking about it openly in a way that has never been true for the gladiator sports. There has not been a lot of introspection. There's not a lot of, well, what's going on with my brain chemistry? There weren't even enough scientific facts, Stugatz, for these guys to know what they were doing to their brain chemistry with the collisions and everything else. So I don't believe, you can't say that we have discussed mental health well in the sports arena, even with Kevin Love telling you that he suffers from depression, when what is happening with Delonte West is he goes homeless and Mark Cuban has to rush in to save him from just total mental bipolar breakdown that ruins the life and the sanity of a man who was good at basketball and made a lot of money.
But athletes have tried to talk about it, as you just pointed out, with Kevin Love. It's just, it's one of those things where people, they struggle to talk about it. They struggle to admit that they're going through some of that stuff, and then that conversation becomes difficult.
Okay, well, this is what happens in sports, though, and I understand why Mike is tiptoeing around some of the landmines here, because obviously, and this should go without saying, Kareem Hunt is not a victim here. Kareem Hunt, we're being talked about. This story we're being talking about because of him. He's at the center of it because of someone else being a victim. And it was horrible, and he became sort of a poster child for the idea that you can be great at sports, and if you do this, you're gone in the Me Too time when the NFL has decided, okay, now we care about this. We're going to totally care about this, even though our Washington football team, you know, has sexual harassment rampant. We're going to care about domestic abuse, even though we never have cared about domestic abuse. Let's push that over there and say, of course, obviously wrong. This does not make this is not all of who Kareem Hunt is. It's one thing that happened, and that's the thing we know. We don't know all the millions of other things that he might be. He's not a martyr here. But the next step on this, when your career and everything that you have cared about comes undone, because you're in the middle of that movement, you're a tough guy and everything else, but you're in the middle of that, whatever that was, and we don't know what happened between them. It sounds like it was pretty awful, and obviously, and it goes without saying, do not beat women. There aren't any excuses for it. Just don't do that.
He threw a kick, I believe.
Was she pregnant? I think that was a wonderful bonus detail, I thought, because I understood why he got clubbed for that, because we all understand that that's wrong. But now your life sort of feels like it's unraveling. You are someone who has been not looked at as human because you're a football player. You're another.
You're confusing it with Tyreek Hill, the pregnancy.
Okay, well, it becomes hard sometimes.
Well,
with
John
sports,
Dorsey,
right?
It's interesting. These two teams have ties to John Dorsey, and John Dorsey, who's probably going to get a job this offseason, is in demand because in the divisional round you have the Browns and the Chiefs, and he had a large amount of say in building those teams. He would take chances on character risks.
Kareem Hunt was in the hotel lobby, I believe, right? Yeah. And he did kick someone, but she was not pregnant.
Okay, but so thank you for the clarifications. My larger point is this man plays an unspeakably violent game. This is a man's man, tough guy. I mean, you guys saw everything. You guys saw Titans-Ravens, right? You enjoyed that game the same way I did, where it felt like, oh my God, these guys are really good at this. And if somebody loses, that's okay. And then at the end of it, all the masculinity is spilling all over the field because the Ravens are dancing on the emblem and masturbating and pooping on the emblem. And you saw what they did, right? Because that was a game.
I didn't see the masturbating.
It was all of that. It was a game.
I miss all of that.
It was a game of two dogs fighting, and we all saw the masculinity of the sport there.
Yes, a defensive struggle, Dan. Yes.
Thank you, Stugatz. That's another way to say it instead of the way that I said it.
But just to be clear, no one was masturbating, right?
I'm not clear on that. I think we did deserve more clarity on it. I'm just saying symbolically somebody was masturbating on the emblem and others found it disrespectful, and then they argued about it. And Francesa said, Francesa did actually say this. Hey, the Ravens were the better team, but that was classless.
Oh, you knew.
He's still working that angle. Course, it's 40 years of that angle.
Why stop now? I mean, he's the Pope.
I stopped myself. I wanted to tweet something out, but I'm like, oh, people are going to read into this as code. I just hate the Ravens.
Wait a minute. It's the height of football. We're still doing this, Francesa.
Yeah.
Francesa, we're still doing this. It's the height of football, a violent sport. The Ravens were great, but I thought they were classless because they danced on the emblem.
Speaking of that game, was anybody listening with the sound on? Because everyone on my timeline, and I heard the audio, and it sounds like he said it. Did Louis Riddick say that shit is electric?
Was that on Nickelodeon?
No, that's on ESPN. Nickelodeon is not part of the Disney family.
There was
an F word during the game on Nickelodeon that Noah Eagle, Ian Eagle's son. Nate Burleson was fantastic in that game, by the way. There was an F-bomb that the mics picked up there on Nickelodeon. But Louis Riddick, while calling the game and talking about Lamar Jackson, it seems as though, from the clip that I've seen, it says, that shit is electric.
Mm-hmm. That's great. And just it came out of him because he's got the enthusiasm.
I certainly can't play the sound, but can you guys listen to it in private and confirm you guys, or deny reports?
I heard what you're talking about. I heard that same clip, and he definitely said shit.
That is great. That is a new kind of broadcasting right there. Do you think he got called into an office or anything?
I don't think he meant to do it. I think he got relaxed.
No, Lamar Jackson will do that to you.
The shit is electric.
It is electric. Who would dispute this?
You got me thinking that way because you had Raven shitting on the Titans emblem. I was like, well, there was shit.
And masturbating.
Electric shit.
To get back to what it is that Mike's saying, though, Stugatz. So you're Kareem Hunt, and that's the sport you play. And you're a tough guy. And here, everything that happens in terms of you working toward your dreams because you've thrown it away by doing the wrong thing makes you sob in a car. And yes, Mike, that's what I remember about that video. He seemed a combination of grief-stricken, sort of despondent, and also lubed up on whatever it is that he was using to medicate whatever that pain was. Oh, who knows what was going on inside that guy? And I'm with Mike on this. If you could get honesty instead of one of these mythological, just sort of, and it's a redemption story, and he's back in sports, and to get like really to the deep darkness of, hey, where the grief eater? Where were you in there in that moment? Where were you in terms of feeling like you had ruined your life?
And
like,
more importantly, where are you now?
Right.
Because you were pretty quiet after your suspension and everyone thought you were clean. And I remember it on my timeline. I'm like, well, this makes sense. But it came as a surprise just because you didn't hear anything around Kareem Hunt. I'm worried about Kareem Hunt now. Are you still dealing with that sadness that drove you, no pun intended, to apparently self-medicate and sob to an officer because you weren't playing in a Super Bowl?
Is it an actual redemption story? The problem with that is Kareem Hunt probably has no idea where he was at that moment. Probably, unless he's done some reflection and spoken with therapist, he probably has no idea where he was.
You think that that's just a shell of a man? You think that that what was inside there sobbing, I'm not understanding what you're saying. You think that Kareem Hunt, if you tell him where were you in that moment, he will have blacked out?
I think he's sobbing because he's confused. I don't know how I got to a point where I could do stuff like this. I think for mentally ill people, from what I've read, and Kevin Love did a great job, you will self-medicate, okay, until that medication stops working, and then you have to go seek something that's stronger and something that's better to get you back to a place where you feel somewhat normal. And so I'm not certain Kareem Hunt knows exactly what's going on inside his brain, not certain he knew exactly what was going on in that moment.
Okay, so correct me if I'm wrong, guys. You guys are listening to this, and does this feel, as we talk about it, as apologist as it sounds to me in my ears? Because many people listening to this, I'm assuming that they would just say, oh, that Kareem Hunt, boo-hoo. You did the wrong thing. Get the hell out of the sport. And he did. He had to get out of the sport for a while, and he didn't win a championship with his friends because of that. But you can hear anybody listening to this, Stugatz, saying, oh, give me a break. What's all this humanizing of Kareem Hunt? How about you treat the woman like a human and not do things to a woman that shouldn't be done physically?
Well, I think we all agree with that. We're sympathetic to the woman. And I think, you said it pretty clearly, like, hey, keep your hands off women. Don't beat them. Don't do it. But I also think there is not enough. We don't know enough about mental illness, and there's not enough sensitivity around mental illness to know, hey, did Kareem Hunt do that because there's something going on in his brain that, you know, that
Did he do that thing? Okay, you're linking the two things.
Yes.
You're linking the mental illness to the crime.
I'm not ruling it out. That's what I'm not doing. I'm not ruling it out.
It should be said that, again, he wasn't arrested for this. All he ended up being was cited for speeding. But we're all making those logical leaps because the car smoked a marijuana. Right. There was an open container of vodka in there. There was plenty of stuff taken out of the car that the officer asked Kareem Hunt. And Kareem Hunt is like, if I get tests, I haven't failed any of the tests. The officer let him go. And you watch that video. And at that time in America, you're like, how the hell did Kareem Hunt drive away from this because it seemed scary, and where you didn't have a concern for Kareem Hunt because you just assumed because he's quiet, he was doing all right. All of a sudden, you're wondering what the hell is going on.
So how do you feel about him in your uniform going after the biggest game in the history of your franchise or in your lifetime?
Same conflict, but I scream louder when the games mean more. He was awesome against Pittsburgh. This is the best running game, I think, in the league when you have a full, healthy offensive line. Those two backs, Nick Chubb is incredible, obviously, but to be able to go to Kareem Hunt as a backup, it's insane. Because of what happened in Kansas City, the Cleveland Browns find themselves playing Kansas City. Nick Chubb was gone for a large chunk of the season. I mean, we were bailing water, but we survived in large part thanks to that incident in a Cleveland area hotel room that got him on the Browns. But I'm still wondering, is this guy okay?
Aren't fans selfish that way, though? We've all rooted for guys like bad guys. Like Cubs fans rooted for Aroldis Chapman. He helped them win their first World Series.
But what Mike is pleading for there, you're saying, yes, Stugatz, of course, you're right. But the reason I'm guessing that Mike finds that interesting is because fandom, that's all that connects it. Fandom, these aren't real emotional relationships. You get what you want from your athletes, and it makes you feel good. And when they disappoint you, you yell at them and you scream at them. But Mike, who loves the Cleveland Browns, is asking from the middle of a moral conflict. He's asking, hey, am I allowed to wonder about this guy's humanity? Am I allowed to wonder if this guy is okay? Or do I have to stand back and just keep lashing him with, you're the bad guy, this isn't a redemption story, you're a character problem, you're not allowed to sob boo-hoo guy in your car, get your shit together, get out on the football field, make millions of dollars carrying a ball, and then there's the undercurrent of everything that's happening in this country right now, where you also get an added boy.
Yeah.
Get back out there, boy, and just carry the football and just shut up about your pain.
It's complicated because we're talking around it and there's no answer to it, which means it's not good sports talk radio. It probably makes for a worse column. It's a lot easier to do what Tony Grossi did, and credit to the Cleveland beat writers because most of them were like, I have no idea how to talk about this. It's just Kareem Hunt. He's playing his former team. We don't know Kareem Hunt. But Tony Grossi is doing the easy thing. He's like, wow, what a redemption story just because Kareem Hunt is quiet. And what I'm telling you is he was quiet for last season too, and then he gets pulled over sobbing to an officer because Damian Williams is putting up a performance in the Super Bowl and not him.
But Kareem Hunt does something. Mike, I'm not questioning your sincerity, but fan sincerity in general when they say, hey, I want to stop and think about whether this moral conundrum, should I be rooting for this guy? Is he okay? I don't think most fans care. They only care that Kareem Hunt makes them feel good and gives the Browns a better chance of winning a Super Bowl, and that's it.
If I'm bothered by anything in this, because I have the moral conundrum, same as I always have, and I'm just thinking about it more because we're in the playoffs and it's heightened and it's Browns fever. I bought so much merch. It's freaking crazy. My Browns are playing Patrick Mahomes and the Kansas City Chiefs. And if they win, they're one game from a Super Bowl.
What's the point spread? More than a touchdown.
It's 10 and a half, by the way. Take the over on that 56 and a half.
What happened to just happy to be here?
I am happy to be here. Okay. But, you know, I don't think the Kansas City Chiefs can stop the Cleveland Browns running game.
What's the weather going to be?
Weather's fine. 40 degrees, but not windy.
Do me a favor. You're up 3 in the fourth quarter. You lose that game, tell me how happy you are just to be here.
Well, hold on.
We beat the Steelers. I'm good.
Let's backtrack.
You were just happy to be there, told me.
I'm good.
I want to backtrack for a second to tell you a story about Harvin Marison because this was something that happened to me. I fell into that trap, right? If you have followed, God, this is so long ago. These are old man journalism tales. We got to get imaging for that. Like, this is the musty stuff, right? When I'm writing columns for ESPN, the magazine, about somebody like Marvin Harrison's excellence, and why can't this guy, and I fancy myself the woke sports writer, the enlightened guy, the apologist on behalf of the black athlete, and now I'm writing a column in my 20s for ESPN, the magazine, and I want to talk about Harvin Marrison's excellence, and that's all I want to talk about. In a world gone mad where Terrell Owens wants everyone's attention with a Sharpie in his sock, Harvin Marrison just quietly goes about his job. And I'm just going to ignore the part about him being possibly a quiet killer. And I'm just going to talk about his football excellence. And we're going to write a column about that. The Colts declined. I mean, it was just going to be a puff piece. It was just going to be feeding the mythology of this. I mean, I was going to write like tapestries around him. And he wasn't saying anything. I was just going to write, Here he is. I mean, because you remember Harvin Merrison, skinny, just beautifully quiet and elegant in a way that normally that kind of excellence, what we give it is we toss it bouquets and write poetry about it. Oh, and look, he doesn't say anything. Therefore, he's humble or he's a killer.
Mm-hmm.
Or we had.
Right, be careful.
I know. Well,
you got to watch
there's, the, like there's the, kill stuff
I'm,
around.
I'm talking
here,
about. But,
you should be careful.
All right. Well, hold on a second, because I got in trouble with Bomani Jones a long time ago about this because we turned all of that into a joke. And I haven't said his actual name. Harvin Merrison is someone you guys told me to be afraid of, even though he's skinny. He is not a menace by any standard in the NFL physically.
You always have to be careful with the guys who are just a little too quiet. Remember, damn, what are they hiding?
When the Harvin Merrison stuff came out after his career was over, I thought of one very strange headline that I saw on NFL.com. Man, this might have been like the keyword NFL search days. When Harvin Merrison was at a Pro Bowl and a fan approached him and he grabbed him by the throat and it was just like a violent flash. And I was like, huh,
well, aren't
that
there,
doesn't seem wait like a minute, but Harvin.
That's right. Harvin.
Wouldn't do that.
You're just excellent all the time. You quietly catch passes.
Mistaken identity. Thousands, it was Hines Ward.
I thought there were reports. Can you just Google real quick, Stugatz, if you don't mind?
Yeah.
Harvin Merrison, the real name, and Philadelphia, and just gunshots in a wall.
I'm afraid to type the real name.
Yeah.
I mean, seriously.
Well, can you just do all those things I said and figure out a creative way to get there.
Google should figure it out if you put Harvin Merrison.
Okay.
I think a lot of people Google it that way.
Okay, Harvin Merrison and gunshot and Philadelphia, because we're speaking of a mythology here. We're not speaking of a real person. We have not spoken this person's name, but I'm pretty sure he played NFL games strapped. I'm pretty sure that was something.
Like the last Boy Scout?
We just didn't notice. Yeah, that we just didn't notice that at any given point somebody could have died.
All right, so I've typed all that in. Harvin Merrison, gunshots, Philadelphia.
You want to take a minute to read it? We can give you a break.
I mean,
Roy, what's for brunch?
It's an ESPN story, the first one.
Yes, Roy, what's for brunch? What are you having for brunch? Corporate Mike is back because we need to do the show. And this is now going to be our governor, Mike. Whenever we wander too far afield because we're doing a 20-minute segment instead of a 5-minute segment, you're just going to, like a dog running against an electrical fence, you're going to hit me with asking somebody what's for lunch?
I wanted a sports segment, and I just wanted to explore, which allowed us to be reckless. But I did not want to explore Harvin Merrison. I want to explore what's for brunch.
Roy?
Yeah, so it's up in the air right now because I have to go immediately. I have to redo this today. So it might be some sort of fast food chain today. Don't really know who, but it's looking like fast food today.
You have to redo what today, Roy? You didn't seem like you were at all prepared for that question. Look, this is a dog-eat-dog world around here right now, Roy, where executives are climbing over each other trying to get to the top of this mountain. You didn't have nothing there? Like, what do you mean you want to redo? Did I misunderstand
you? I didn't say I wanted to redo. I said it was up in the air. I don't know what I'm going to eat today because I have to leave.
Roy's playing it safe. He doesn't want to say which brand he's going to eat at because he doesn't know who's a competitor or potential sponsors. But Roy, I just say this. Everyone right now is a potential sponsor, so feel free to name drop, my friend.
Roy, is that what happened there, that you didn't want to name a sponsor because you were ever vigilant over the last 15 years of making sure? Oh, by the way, meet, ladies and gentlemen, our sponsorship department. That's Roy Bellamy. He's now in charge of sponsors. Is that what just happened there, Roy, that you were afraid to say a brand name just because for 15 years you've been electrocuted if a wrong brand gets out there?
That's exactly right, Dan. And I can tell you this right now. I can name any brand in the world, and we could go after that brand right now. But I'm just going to play it safe. I'm going to see who's going to come over with the money. And right now, it could be anybody.
I have a question for Roy, because Roy's really good at giving you, like, random ads for things. Feel free to tell me this is a horrible idea, because it probably is. Roy, do you know, like, could you name, if we give you a brand, who their spokesperson is? Also, like, going back historically, like, if we were to say, like, where's the beef, could you tell us who that person is that plays that role?
Yes, he could tell you that for sure.
No, I can't tell you the name of the person. That's so old. It was an old lady back in the 70s.
Claire Bell? Good Lord, Roy.
Claire Bell?
Princess Claire Bell.
I don't know.
I think that's a cow for, like, a milk company. Clara Bell the cow, no?
This is a long story.
Yeah. I thought it was Dave Thomas.
There's another side of Marl. Marvin Harrison, man.
Ooh, by the way, potatoes are coming back to Taco Bell.
They are?
Yeah, they went away. They removed all potato-based items from their menu for a little bit, and they brought back potatoes to Taco
Why?
Bell.
Why? But why'd they take them away? What's the point of anything Mexican with potatoes is wonderful. Why were there not potatoes at Taco Bell?
I'm on it.
What do you want to know about? I'm afraid to talk about. Yes, I'd rather go there. I mean, what do you want to know?
Well, it's because last year they had to shift how the drive-thru works because of pandemic. So it seemed as though this decision on potatoes, and remember, there was a potato shortage during the beginning of the pandemic. So maybe that forced Taco Bell's hand. But I am happy to report for your brunch needs, potatoes are back at Taco Bell.
Can we?
They're bringing back those spice fries, aren't they?
Yeah.
I saw a commercial for that.
I love those commercials that look like movies.
Look at the smile on Roy's face. Why did that? Roy, why do you seem so happy? It's because of the cameo money, isn't it? We're getting a totally different Roy. Roy is totally joyous.
I mean, you just go straight into your account every day. It's a delight. That is when you do them, of course.
Oh, it's the best.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. My pockets are getting fat right now, man.
All right. Roy, how can you get better at the cameos? What can we do in order for Roy to get maximum mileage out of, because Billy's gone to costumes and Chris has gotten to over exuberance. That basically, Chris, that's your character, right? You're going for
so much energy. That's why I'm envious of Billy, because he can do it and nail it without being very low energy.
Billy, do you have any advice for the crew as the clear cameo artistic leader so far in terms of getting a lot of applause because you're doing. You're doing little acting there in character, ad lib. Do you have any advice for the group on how to do these properly beyond saying, hey, Stugatz, how about you just do them at all?
Good news, Dan. False alarm in my building. False alarm. I didn't know I had that speaker there, but hey, you know.
Nice to know.
Good news.
Yes.
Oh, hold on. More here.
Español.
Are you on a cruise?
Is it Spanish? Because
are you languages? Hold on a second.
Because it sounds like you're in your chateau in Paris right now.
Sounds like a captain's message early in the morning.
It does. It sounds like you're so.
I think we're in French now.
Hold on. It sounds like it's a pirate ship. It's what it sounds like. It sounds like it's the teeny echo. Well, let's see, Billy. Do you think that is something that happens in a lot of countries? A fire alarm that has three different, a lot of cities.
Oh, someone's banging on something. Sorry.
Billy, what's going on at your house?
It was very quiet moments ago. I heard off in the distance an alarm, and I thought that it may be like, you know, another building or something. But apparently it was my building. But good news, false alarm. So we're all good. What were we talking about here?
Any advice you have for the group on what
I got to do one soon
on how to be good at cameo?
I don't know how I became the advice person, but like I'd be happy to give Chris or Roy or Stugatz or anyone advice. Just feel free, book my cameo. I'll give you all the advice that you want.
I've already learned from Billy. You just take something that they give you and you just ramble for 45 seconds on it. It makes the cameo seem longer
You're underestimating the artfulness that Billy is applying to remaining in deadpan character. It's not that's hard to just ramble. I think you think it comes naturally to Billy right up until you ask him to do it. Have you not been doing the show with him for 8 years? He gives you a lot of ramble when you don't want it, and when you want ramble, you get four words and a smile. Have you not been doing? Yeah, there it is. What do you mean? Yeah. Four words and a smile.
Try that out, Cameo. What do you mean?
Billy being maximum yammering Billy. That's hard work.
I mean, Billy, how long are your cameos? I'm averaging, and now I got people starting to complain they're too long. That is, of course, when I do theirs. But mine are like averaging at like 2 minutes per cameo.
Stugatz, how did you end up being bad at this? I thought you were going to crush all of this.
Oh, I am crushing it. I mean, people love my cameos. I'm wearing the same shirt. I do it from the same office. I mean, it's a delight. I'm going to start getting high for them. I mean, how about that?
No, are you? You're going to start getting high for them. Didn't you promise us the exclusive rights to you getting high on air? Now you're going to give it away on Cameo?
Yep.
Weren't we going to do that?
Well, he's not giving it away there. He's getting paid $150.
Exactly. I'm not getting paid anything here.
Are you going to make it stupat-itty or not?
Listen, I have put some feelers out there.
I'm always listening to you, by the way.
And by feelers, I just threw it out there. Cannabis world, I am available. I am free and I am available.
Are you going to be able to turn that into a NASCAR? Is stupidity going to become something that just is? Are you going to have product placement? Are you going to do it creatively?
I'm telling you right now, okay? We have a CEO in charge. I have felt his power, okay? I have felt what it's like to be on a phone call with him with sales. I am not doing anything.
He's got some presence, man. Every picture of him makes him look like a mafioso.
It's unbelievable, okay? And so I'm not selling another thing. I'm not missing another cameo. I don't want to do anything until that man says it's okay.
Okay, right? Well.
So I am not. I'm not even putting DraftKings on this.
All right. So Mike, help me out with some of the stuff here as we spin out a little bit and we close out the show for the day, because this is getting harder and harder to do because a whole lot of stuff is bouncing off of us as we do it.
I just don't know the rules. That's all. Like if I had a rule book, that'd be fine.
I think you'd break it if you knew the rules. I think our history here suggests that there's been a lot of, I mean, these stories are true. Like if I take you right to the recesses of everything that we've done around here to get to this very point when we're starting a media company and it's like a hugely exciting time to do it. And Stugatz has got stupidity, and it's a vital thing that people like outside of our world and inside of our world. And we're going to build something now over the course of this free period time when we're also making shows for you.
I'll have Dan Patrick on this week on stupidity, talk about life after ESPN. From a sales standpoint, I would love to paint it like an NASCAR. I just don't know if I'm allowed to. So I have to take your sensibilities into account here, which I didn't do the first week, but I promised it to here.
Mike, well, you laugh,
two,
Mike, okay? And where are we with this?
It was the DraftKings spot that showed up. It surprised me when I was listening to it.
I thought I had all the sales inventory. Okay, I thought it was mine to sell.
I love DraftKings. They've supported us since day one. Go for it. I think Dan overthinks commercial sponsorship when it comes to podcasts too much. People just sort of accept it. I think more people are concerned that we don't have sponsors.
Yes. Okay, hold on a second. Just let's end the show here because I want people to see what's happening with us.
I just want you to stop bleeding, man. Okay, I mean, I know you listen, you have no reason to believe me, none of you, but I'm telling you, I am doing this because I want Dan to stop spending money.
No. Well, no, that's helpful. That's not it. Whatever. You want the money.
I thought I had all the inventory 100% of it.
You're the most honest relationship I have because everything that comes out of your mouth is a lie.
Thank you. At least you know.
Like, you're just wasting words and time when you're saying, oh, man, I care for Dan when it comes to this.
Okay, well, but in letting everybody in on the warts and all stuff, on a night where Stugatz and I had a back and forth, because, look, man, this is an emotional time for us, and all of us are just sort of wrecked by what's going on in the country, combined with the fact that, our loved ones, and the virus keeps getting closer and closer, and there's a lot of fear, and we're all in an unbelievably stressful time. I don't know. I think we're sitting right now trying to make you laugh, fooling around about cameo and free agency, trying to take you away from all of the bullshit going on in America. I think that we are sitting in the middle of the most stressful time any of us have ever known as a country. We're sitting right in the middle of it now where none of us are really sure, hey, nothing's going to happen at the inauguration, right? Like nothing. We're going to be able to protect ourselves and freedom and all that stuff because this hasn't gotten quite so messy with all this Frankenstein monster has wrought in terms of showing America its true self at the underbelly, because we can blame him all we want for being, an orange racist turd and stuff. But all he did was maximize the power and profit in tapping in to how we hate each other and turned it into something all in front of us at the same time that we could see is like, oh, wait a minute. So you don't believe in freedom at all. And you're going to accuse me of not believing in freedom just because you're sitting here physically and actually attacking freedom in a way that kills a police officer and busts his skull with a fire extinguisher while, waving Blue Lives Matter flags and not having the sense of smarts to even see the irony in that, the funny that you've brought to this tragedy by being such a reckless group of oafs that you graffiti this place and you had some sort of plan, but whatever the plan was, it got dangerously close to kidnapping the vice president of the United States. And we all feel hugely unsafe.
Yeah, well, think about it. You just had to ask that in the form of a question. Nothing's going to happen, right? Transfer of power. We never even talked about it. It just someone got elected, and that guy became, that person and, became president.
And
that was it.
I want to be doing a radio show around that, right? As we, this is all a long way of saying, okay, as you go on this journey with us, as you see in real time, me and Stugatz fighting, and Amin saying, hey, I jumped ship, and there, where's the money negotiation?
As Dan tells you, what's for brunch?
And Lou is freaking out.
Yes,
man.
And that there's always been a sales tension around here for 20 years. For 20 years, Stugatz knows that this has been my greatest frustration. That the I would say that the one place in my ESPN career where John Skipper said no to me is that I was one of the last remaining journalists in print journalism who wasn't doing
anything. You can just say that. You can end that sentence there.
Mm-hmm.
One of the last remaining journalists.
Mm-hmm. In doing live spots and doing advertising. I didn't want to do it. But in order to get to ESPN, it's a compromise I had to make. I did not want to make it, but I had to make it in order for all of us to get to ESPN a long time ago. And now the story comes full circle, and John Skipper comes over here to work with us in a way that's going to help us build a company. But for 20 years, Stugatz knows that my greatest frustration is that the advertising in this game has been terrible. It's always live spots, boring, no creativity.
You mean in radio? This game is different. This is podcast.
Yeah. Okay. But you understand what I'm saying. I come from radio. I'm doing a radio show right now. I'm not doing a podcast. I'm doing what we've always done around here, a radio show.
Yeah, but you're doing a podcast.
I know. I'm not. We don't have to have on first routine.
I know you know, and we always refer to it as radio. And what I feel like we're doing, I've always referred to as a radio show. But you're coming with radio baggage, and podcast is a different animal altogether.
But we're making that shift in real time, Mike.
Yeah, but Dan, I think what Mike's trying to say is we can get creative with the ads. We could drop the ads in a way that you would never even know that they're being done. You'd never hear it.
On radio, ads would legitimately get in the way of us doing our show. It would be part of the framework of the show. You would have to toss to a cashier sound, and Stugatz would go into a spot. You'd do a transition, and then you would sit as you try to collect your thoughts from talking all day. More talking about commercial products for 5 minutes, and then you would have to reset with a spot at the start. It's totally different with podcasts. We do our show. We could have a million sponsors on this podcast right now. Your workflow would not be altered one bit. And the audience either sits through them. Actually, I'm surprised. The math is most people actually sit through podcast spots. But for those that don't, they got the fast forward button, and it's in one ear, out the other, and they just keep going until Stugatz picks up. It is a totally different deal.
Mike, safe to say that we could paint it like an NASCAR, and Dan would never even know.
Would not know.
You're giving me an idea.
There it is. And that is the sales tension that has always existed around everything that we're doing. And that is where it is that we head off for the day. I don't know when we're doing show. I've become Greg Cody. I don't know what kind of show we're doing. What is it? A podcast? Is it a radio show? These lights are very bright in here.
Actually, they're not bright enough. I've got no idea how to turn these things on or off.
I just know it's going to have 9 presenting sponsors now.
Okay. I know that Billy wanted to talk about a pigeon today, and I've been trying to get to it all show, and I don't understand why he so badly wants to talk about a pigeon. But we've been so self-involved. And we have been so just overwhelmed by everything happening around here that, Billy, I'm sorry I didn't have a chance to get to your pigeon story. What happened
just
with a pigeon?
Just tease it, Dan. We could tease it. Next time we come back.
The next podcast, right, Dan. The next
Post-game show.
Find out about Billy's pigeon story.
Give us a second to change reels.
Sick of being upsold at gyms?
My guy, you're currently a base member. For $90 more, I can upgrade you to our Shred membership. For $130 more, you'll be a Swole member. And for just $300 more, you'll reach Sweat Platinum.
At Planet Fitness, you'll get energy without the upsell. Never pushy, always free fitness training and equipment for every workout. It's fitness that fits your budget. Join Planet Fitness for just $1 down and $10 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, May 10th. See Home Club for details.